How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. I was looking through the news feed on Facebook earlier today, and I saw that there are several people who are attending the Elephant in the Room conference in Illinois. It's a conference of various leading lights in the church today, the kind of the bright lights, but Stephen Furtick, one of them, and several others there that we talked about in the previous hour. And they're blogging live from this conference, which is nowadays that's kind of what you expect. You get some kind of real-time coverage of these conferences and see what they're saying there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the Elephant in the Room conference is designed to be one of these places where all opinions are heard openly and no one's excluded from the conversation, with the exception, apparently, of our guest for the next half hour of the program. He's one of our listeners' favorite guests, Chris Rosebrough. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's host of the daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
Why aren't you at the Elephant in the Room conference right now?
Because I was escorted off the property.
Did you cause a ruckus? Did you bring a firearm? Why were you escorted off?
No, no firearms, no ruckus. I registered to attend the conference, and I paid the money to attend one of their satellite conferences. I wasn't going to pay the money to go to the live site, and I would just sit there, take notes, and then a report on the conference on tomorrow's edition of Fighting for the Faith. And because it's a big conference in evangelicalism. However, I'm an outspoken critic of a lot of the methodologies and preaching of seeker-driven pastors, and apparently my reputation has preceded me. And so when I was attending the conference with a colleague of mine who's also she's a blogger and a student at the Master Seminary. And as soon as we walked into the lobby, the security guard identified me, and we were quickly kind of escorted off to the side of the lobby, and then had a conversation with one of the elders from the church, where we were told that our registrations to attend the Elephant in the Room conference had been revoked, and we were to leave the premises immediately. And so we went out into the parking lot, and we're kind of figuring out, well, what are we going to do? And while we were, sitting in the car, kind of talking about, what's next, I noticed that elder came out into the parking lot to ensure that we, absolutely left the premises. And so I got on my phone and I called a friend of mine, and I said, I need you to listen to this conversation because I'm going to need a witness as to what it is that is going to take place. So I walked up to the elder and I said, listen, I really think you're making a mistake. And the reason I say that is because I'm a member of the media. And, if you're not going to let me attend a conference that I've paid money to that's supposedly about having toe-to-toe conversations about tough topics where people take opposing sides. I mean, wasn't even going to be a speaker there. I was, I was just there to sit and listen and report. I said, if you do this, then, I'm going to have to break the story to, the greater church at large and use my platform to talk about it. He then immediately said, well, I appreciate you threatening me. And I said, no, I don't think you're hearing me right. I'm not threatening you with anything. I'm telling you, as a member of the media and a member of the Christian church, it's my responsibility to break this story that you're not going to let me attend. And he says, you're threatening me. I said, no, I'm not threatening you. I'm promising to break the story. He said, we've already called the police, and if you do not get off our property right now, we will have you arrested for trespassing. And that was the end of the conversation.
Now, again, this conference is specifically presented as a place where differing views, and you weren't even actually going to say anything, you were just attending to listen and report, where differing mm-hmm. views were going to have an open air and to be heard on all sides, right?
That's correct.
I take it this is the first time that you've been refused attendance at one of these conferences.
No, actually, this is the second year in a row I've been uninvited to the Elephant in the Room conference. Last year, I had applied to attend the original Elephant in the Room on a media pass, and my media pass had been accepted. And then the night before the Elephant in the Room conference, I was notified by email that my media pass had been revoked and that I would not be permitted to attend the conference at all. And when I asked if I, you know, well, then I can just register online and attend, I was told that I shouldn't do that. So last year I was also, forbidden to attend the Elephant in the Room conference.
What is it that they are concerned about, that they don't want you there?
That, you know, that's a good question, because one of the things I've noticed about the seeker-driven leaders is that they are not open to, in fact, they spend a lot of time and effort to keep and shunt away any substantive theological and biblical conversation regarding their methodologies and their preaching and what they're doing in these megachurches. And, you know, I'll give you an example. As you're familiar with, the blogosphere can be kind of a lively place for discussion to take place. But what I've noticed about the seeker-driven guys is that they spend an inordinate amount of time, basically anybody who critiques them, they liken them, you know, they engage in ad hominem arguments. So like on August 18th, James McDonald himself, the guy who's hosting the Elephant in the Room conference, said this on Twitter. He says, "Why are so many reform folks like Nazis? They're filled with insecurity and harshness over every perceived threat of less than total conformity." Now, the odd thing about a tweet like that is that he's actually engaging in the very behavior that he's accusing reformed folks of engaging in. And, you know, and then there was a friend of mine from the United Kingdom during the Code Orange revival. He wrote a substantive and thoughtful review of T.D. Jakes' sermon that he presented at the Code Orange revival last week. And Bishop T.D. Jakes and James McDonald retweeted a tweet that basically said that the guy who wrote that blog post is 42 years old, lives with his mom, goes to Star Trek conventions, and has no girlfriend. And, I mean, and nothing could be further from the truth. The gentleman who wrote that, his name is Daniel Needs. He's a very successful entrepreneur in the U.K. He has a lovely wife, and he does watch Star Trek on occasion, but he doesn't go to Star Trek conventions. And so what we see over and again from the seeker-driven guys is that they spend a lot of time making sure that they do not have to answer substantive theological and doctrinal questions regarding their methodology and their preaching and what's going on in these megachurches. And since I'm an outspoken critic of this movement, it's clear that they really are not interested in having a conversation with me, but more or less accusing me of trying to be divisive and not being loving and stuff like that. But yet, I don't think calling critics Nazis or bloggers who live in their mom's basements and go to Star Trek conventions does anything towards, having substantive conversation or promoting unity within the body of Christ.
So who are some of the speakers at these Elephant in the Room conferences? You mentioned James McDonald. He's hosting mm-hmm. the current one. Who else?
Last year it included guys like Mark Driscoll, Stephen Furtick, Perry Noble. Greg Laurie was there last year. This year, Stephen Furtick came back, Mark Driscoll came back, James McDonald was back, and as well as T.D. Jakes, Wayne Cordero, and a couple other guys who I'm not all that familiar with. But the one thing that's notable is that pretty much everybody who's invited to the Elephant in the Room conference is in the same camp methodologically as the seeker-driven movement. They're not inviting true people who have true substantive biblical critiques of their methodologies. Instead, they're having a conversation with the people on their end of the spectrum, and they're keeping out anybody, they're keeping out critics who would take an opposing view and have a substantive biblical critique.
All right. I guess I got to wonder, you have had actually other experience with some very major seeker-driven leaders. In the one I think of in particular is Rick Warren, who was far more accommodating to questions and critique. I mean, he still kind of bristles at it, especially on Twitter. But he, at least in your case, and I think Tim Kelly's case, wasn't he far more accommodating with you guys?
Right. Yeah. Rick Warren, you know, if, whatever you think of Rick Warren theologically, the one thing he is that he is a gracious host and he's a likable guy. And he actually makes a point of reaching out to critics and at least giving them the ability to air their grievances. He may not do anything about it. He may continue to think that you're just, you know, about as sharp as a bag full of wet mice. But regardless, he at least gives his critics the ability to air their opinions. At least he's done that in the past. These other guys, I mean, they spend an inordinate amount of time making sure that you don't listen, that they don't have to listen to you, and actually make a point of saying they don't allow people like me, you know, a blogger or a, you know, or whatever, to speak into their lives, because in order for, you know, they basically in order to speak into their lives, you have to agree that they've received a vision from God to do what they're doing. And if you're questioning that vision, they don't want to hear from you.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk more about that, because this idea, boy, is it dangerous that somehow I've received a personal vision from God, a personal revelation from God, and if anyone questions it, or wants to critique it, or in any way questions what it has to say or what I think it has to say, what's the only conclusion you can draw? Well, they're questioning the Word of God, aren't they? I mean, if I've heard from God, if He's given me a vision, and if God has told me something, then if Chris Roseborough questions that, he's not speaking for God. He's got to be speaking for the devil. It's a whole different twist in the seeker-sensitive movement. Talk more about it with Chris Roseborough after this.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good news for Ohio babies.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Ohio Governor John Kasich recently signed legislation banning late-term abortions in the Buckeye State. Prior to this law, doctors could abort babies literally up until the moment of birth. Now physicians will be required to test the viability of any unborn baby after 20 weeks. Those deemed able to live on the outside cannot be aborted. While exceptions are made for a mother's physical health, mental health exceptions will not be allowed. This is especially good news since research shows that abortions can pose mental health risks. The new law is expected to save 700 Ohio babies per year.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, January the 25th. Chris Roseborough is our guest of Fighting for the Faith. We're talking about the intolerance of the latest wave of seeker-driven leaders. He was recently asked to leave and threatened with arrest and trespassing charges when he tried to attend the Elephant in the Room conference, a satellite of the Elephant in the Room conference in Illinois. In fact, that happened just today, if I'm not mistaken. Chris, you obviously will not have an opportunity at the Elephant in the Room conference to ask any questions or to raise any objections, but have you in the past with the seeker-driven leaders, this leading wave of the seeker-driven leaders, have you had a chance to interact with any of them to raise your objections or criticisms?
Yes, I have, actually. I attended a conference a few years ago where Stephen Furtick was one of the main speakers, and I attended a breakout session that he did regarding kind of like the nuts and bolts of church planning, you know, things regarding pipe draping and, you know, some of the more behind-the-scenes type of stuff. And before his breakout session, I actually had an opportunity to approach him, and I asked him a question. One of the things I asked him, I said that, you know, listen, I listened to your sermons, and I noticed that you don't actually preach the gospel to the Christians who attend your church, but you make a point of, you know, at least trying to preach something like the gospel to the non-believers who might show up at your congregation. Can you explain to me why that is? And rather than answer the question, he made a motion with his hand, and I ended up having a conversation with his security guards, and they let me know that the conversation at that point was over. And so on one other occasion, though, he did reach out to me, and we had a pretty much a one-way conversation. I had done a positive sermon review of a sermon that he did that I thought actually was a pretty good sermon, and so he reached out to me after that. Wouldn't let me dialogue with him, just kind of wanted to send a message to me, but the one thing I've noticed about these guys is that when they get you on the phone, they're very abrupt and they don't really want to hear what you have to say, but they want you to hear what they have to say. The conversation never really goes two ways, and I think the Elephant Room conference today is really indicative of what's really one of the problems there in the seeker-driven movement, is these guys want to just continue headlong doing what they're doing and demean and engage in ad hominem attacks about people who have really some substantive criticisms and concerns about what it is they're doing and saying.
Finally, then, do you think it is because they sincerely believe that the vision they have for the future of their congregation or other congregations is theirs by divine revelation?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the major cornerstones of seeker-driven methodology. It's what they call vision casting. It's where a seeker-driven pastor makes himself worthy to receive a vision from God by prayer and fasting and showing God that he's serious about receiving a vision. Blackerby is kind of the basis of this idea. And then God gives a vision to the pastor of what he wants them to do in that particular town, do things a particular way. And then his job is to cast the vision to his leadership team, who then is responsible for making that vision come about. So if you're challenging what they're doing in their way of thinking, you are actually challenging God, and you're going against him. And that's how they treat people. They are sinning by even questioning and challenging what they're doing. And I think that's part of the reason why, a major reason why, we're seeing behavior like this from them year in and year out. And, you know, what we saw at the Elephant Room is just one more piece of evidence in an ongoing train of evidence that these guys are not willing to hear criticism and think that you're challenging God himself by challenging what they're doing.
Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's host of a daily internet radio show called Fighting for the Faith. You can hear it on piratechristianradio.com in about 25 minutes. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.